Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So we asked the question, who are you, by playing that famous Who song. Gary Young, we welcome you into the studio this morning.
Thanks for having
me. Let's play a little game. What'd you have for dinner last night?
I had some chili. I had some chili and some squash.
Oh, well, I can tell by your voice. You're obviously a Brit.
I am a Brit.
So you're a Brit.
I'm a Brit.
But you're also an African.
I am a black Briton.
All right.
My parents are from Barbados.
So you're a West Indian.
I'm something. I'm a black Briton. I mean, I'm a hyphenated Briton.
And you're a journalist.
And you're here in America.
That's right. I live in America. I've lived in America for the last 9 years.
All right, so for our My America series, as we gear up for the Independence Day celebration, and, you know, there are going to be flags waving all over America, we're here talking with Gary Young, who's the author of Who Are We? And Should It Matter in the 21st Century? All of the above identity that you have is more the norm than the exception in our century, yes?
Yeah, I think actually, as long as there's been humanity, there's been diversity, so nobody has ever really fit into one box, but increasingly the boxes that we've given people don't really work as completely as people thought they did.
And in a sense, that's a very personal discussion because, you know, we have a mixed race president of the United States right now, and different people have different stories and can trace their lineage in different ways. But what you've identified here is a huge cleavage between the narratives of the 20th century, which were all about nationalism and specific flags and specific alliances, whether we're talking about the Cold War or, you know, whatever continent you were involved with, versus the 21st century, where all that seems to be breaking down in favor of other identities, corporate identities, mixed racial identities.
That's right. The old boxes don't really work. And that as people move more, as people intermarry more, as humanity gets the chance to kind of spread its wings, then the way in which we talked about people and classified people no longer really works, and therefore the assumptions that we have about people don't really work. So when I first came to the States in 96 for a short period of time, I asked someone, what kind of reception am I going to get as a black Brit? What are people going to make of it? And they said, well, when they see when they hear your voice, they're going to add 20 points to your IQ.
There we go.
Oh boy.
But when they see your face, they won't. And I worked out that if you take the bell curve, and the bell curve was this racist book that said black people are 15 points less clever than white people, I thought, well, I'm still going to end up 5 points up in the States.
You net out at a five. Yeah.
Well, having read your book, I can say you're probably more clever than me. But I think what's interesting in your book is the way that you talk about how identity can hurt us personally when we don't accept the totality of our identity. You talk about that in terms of Muslims, especially in Britain, those who don't, Brits themselves are confused about what being British means. And so often young Muslims end up in these radical groups because that identity is strong for them. That's something that they can totally identify with.
Well, yeah, the basic argument of the book is identity is a great place to start and a terrible place to finish. That we are who we are and it's important to embrace who we are. But if that's where it ends up, then that's a terrible thing. Certainly in Britain, which doesn't have, there are great things about Britain, but it doesn't have quite the flexibility that American identity has in terms of saying, well, you can be a couple of things at the same time. You can be black and British, Muslim and British. It's getting better, but for when I grew up, I was 17 before I would admit that I was British, and you can hear from my voice. It's not like I'm from anywhere else. That's where I was born. But that people would say,
before you would admit it?
I would tell people I was from Barbados, even though I'd been there for 6 weeks on holiday. But there was a reason for that, which was that when people would say to me, you know, where are you from? And I would say, Stevenage, which is where I grew up.
Right,
and I'd say,
right.
Well, where were you born?
Oh, you didn't want the conversation.
And I'd say, Hitchin. And they'd say, well, before then. I said, well, there's no before when I was born. So it's not that I didn't want the conversation, but I wanted to have a proper conversation. If they say, where are you from? Then I'm from here. And what these people were really saying is, you couldn't possibly be from here. So where are you
from? Right.
And so they didn't want to have the proper conversation, which is, I'm from here. My parents are from somewhere else.
But the thing that's interesting to me, and I want to read the sentence that you write. You say, the more power an identity carries, the less likely its carrier is to be aware of it as an identity at all, because their identity is never interrogated. They're easily seduced by the idea that they don't have one. And this, for me, is where it becomes a problem in the United States, especially right now where we have angst over the changing identity of what America means, where perhaps those of white male description who never had to think of themselves of having an identity now are having to think about that.
Right. And there is a sense of a loss of privilege there that, you know, nobody's ever asked me, when did you come out as a straight guy? I have a 4-year-old.
When did you come out as a straight guy?
Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not kind of, you don't come out as a straight guy because you don't have to. Nobody said to me, even though I'm a foreign journalist, how do you balance that with having a 4-year-old? You know, how do you work that? Because I'm a guy, and that when those identities are interrogated, when you say to someone, "Yeah, but you," I mean, I think that one of the reasons why you might be saying that is because you're white and you've never experienced what it's like to say come through a customs line and be picked out every time, or to, you know, be pulled out. Then people kind of retreat into their lagers in a very, people get very passive aggressive. And so we're allowed to talk about black people, you know, black community. But if you talk about the white community, everybody goes nuts. We're allowed to talk about the gay community, even though, of course, that's a varied thing. But if we talk about the straight community, then it's like... Well,
although, you know, with whites becoming a minority in the United States, that conversation is starting to bubble up. I mean, the interesting thing about your premise is that as a personal narrative, the identity becomes the experiences. And the experiences are a collective sense of these little pieces of flags and logos that then become who you really are. As a broad sort of anthropological judgment, though, on the human race, do you think the identities that we have, national and racial, are really just intermediate developmental stages and we're headed somewhere else?
I really do. Yeah. I really do. I think there was a time in the world where black and white didn't mean anything. And even now, if you try and nail it down as to what black and white actually means, it falls apart. Why is Obama a black president when his mother is white and he was white? And the truth is that because that's the way that race is constructed in America. They don't have to make sense. And similarly with nation states. If you look at who's running Greece at the moment, it's not the Greeks.
Right.
Certainly. If you look at who
it's
America...
the French bankers who have their own identity problems in American court systems. Where is your America, Gary Young?
My America is with my family. It's in Brooklyn. I mean, that is the America to me. My wife is American. My son is American. You know,
you and I share that, Gary Young. My America is with my family in Brooklyn. Gary Young, author of Who Are We and Should It Matter in the 21st Century. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Is possible.
Equality, fairness, and justice.
The ideals of liberty and the dignity of the individual.
Where we can still talk about things and argue about things.
I feel that I belong to America and America belongs to me.
What makes you an American? That's part of a question we're asking as we go forward with our series, My America. Conversations all next week on the idea of what makes us all Americans. In 2011, guests like John Leguizamo, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, and we want to hear your personal American story, perhaps the story of being the first in your family to go to college, telling us where you were in 9/11. What makes you an America and where is your America? Tell us by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can find out more about the series at thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. Have a good fourth weekend. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, WKKF.org. The Takeaway is produced by WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.